Hello, you finders, with our feet up on some comfy chairs today because we have been doing a tour this morning. We have popped to the pool, we've been and sampled the delights of a spa. We're podcast on tour, hashtag podcast on tour, because we have been hanging out in Birmingham recording some special podcast episodes for you, which are coming out over the next few weeks. So you'll have heard the first part last week, which was the Better With A Buddy. But this one, it's a sexy subject, isn't it?
That's selling it well. Yeah, very sexy. Treat yourself. Could be a very sexy thing, couldn't it?
We like this as a subject. You know what I mean? People are like, oh yes, but then what does the word treat mean to you? The good, the bad, the great connotations with the word treat. Maybe the way that you treat yourself is different to how you used to treat yourself. Are you finding that all your treats are around like food and drink, celebrating with another cake?
Are you not treating yourself very well? You know what I mean?
So we're going to break open the subject that is the word treat whilst we are feeling 100% pampered,
chilled, relaxed and treated ourselves in a non-food like way.
Exactly. We had matching gowns on, it was all good, people, and now we've just found a quiet corner in Birmingham, and the only people outside, there's like a lone runner running along the canal. There's one man crossing an empty road. There's a few drunk pigeons. That it's literally just me, Anna, and you, and we're feeling fully pampered.
Yeah.
And that's how we do life. So welcome to this podcast. We'll hand over to the inbox and find out who's going to kick off this episode this week.
Word up, you wonderful people. I wonder which lovely Slimming World members have left us some messages today. Let's find out.
Hi, I'm Chris from Team Bentley in Doncaster.
Hi there, my name's Michelle.
Hi, this is Rachel from Isleworth.
Hi, Nikki from Norfolk here.
My consultant is Dawn.
I am a Target member in the Queensborough group with Siobhan and also a consultant in Elland.
And I go to Tracy's amazing group in South Ealing.
I go to the lovely Rachel's group in Helsdon on a Wednesday morning.
Cue the ukuleles.
Cue the ukuleles.
Cue the ukuleles.
Cue the ukuleles.
Thank you, Rachel, Michelle, Chris and Nikki. I love that one.
Thank you. We appreciate all of your enthusiastic efforts and you do make me chuckle. I once a month I go and listen to like the 50 plus messages in the inbox and I sit there one after the other listening to you all from different places.
Aww.
I couldn't draw where most of you are on a map, but it doesn't matter, and I love listening to all of your different accents, and it just really makes me think like how like worldwide, global wide, like you, like UK wide, Slimming World really is. I feel like I've kind of travelled around the country with the company. So I appreciate you leaving those messages because I get to have that little moment.
She doesn't allow me access to them in case I press the wrong button.
She won't go there in case she deletes it. So welcome to Slimming World podcast. We put out an episode every Monday, but on the other Mondays, if you're listening to this in the public world on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, every other Monday, our podcasts are for members only, which you can find in the Slimming World member area. So this week, this treat yourself, which I think heading into December, into party time, it's an interesting subject, isn't it? And something that I think, if I'm truly honest, as I headed to Target, I had to rethink my behaviours around what I did to treat myself.
Yeah, I really find this a fascinating subject because I talk to a lot of members about that notion of treat, that notion of how well we treat ourselves psychologically. And treats to a lot of us really are linked to sugar, fat, decadence, aren't they? And when you think about treat, like actually putting a lot of fat, putting a lot of sugar into your body, is that really a treat? Speaking to yourself negatively, how you treat yourself, a lot of it is so intertangled, isn't it? A lot of it is so intertangled in how we've learnt to behave that we don't realise the negative impact of how we're treating ourselves or maybe the treats we have are. So, yeah, I really find it fascinating that the word treat has so many different dimensions to it. Some positive and some can be really negative, can't they?
I think the biggest thing that I really struggle with is I didn't quite like myself. And I was also like, but you're not there yet.
Yeah.
You know, and when I had gone through those phases of like, you know, I lost weight, then I put it back on, then I put some more on, I wouldn't allow myself to kind of be happy until I'd got past where I was before.
I see that a lot.
Do you know? So yeah. I was like kind of, my head was still in like comparing myself to my past. And it was a very murky, muddy kind of world in my mind where I felt like I would only treat myself once I finally reached that perfect target weight, which was this mythical, amazing kind of fantasy place.
Yeah.
And before then, that's it. Like, I was on a diet, I was losing weight, I was, you know, punishing myself because I was silly to get myself in this overweight state in the first place. Mm-hmm. When I'd already been here, I've done this before, why am I here again? For
yourself.
Flipping heck's sake, I'd get annoyed. So yeah. I'd be like, no, you're not treating yourself. No. Who do you think you are?
And the self-speak that comes with that, because you're so negative, like, you're rubbish, you've let yourself down, you're fat. All that, you know, I often think if Phil spoke to me in the way I'd spoken to myself, I would have got divorced. I wouldn't have allowed, but I was speaking to myself and having such a critical behaviour inside my head. It's almost like putting a caveat on your happiness. I'll be happy when I've got to achieve this to allow myself to feel successful. Mm. Letting go of that expectation of happiness is 1 + 2, or, you know, to achieve a certain thing will make me happy. We've both found in life that actually losing weight doesn't fix all the other emotional things that you've got going on. It's part of a journey, isn't it? And until you recognize that, it's a whole process of change. It's not just the physical weight, it's the emotional change, the way you speak to yourself, the habits that are set up. But a lot of us don't realise what we're doing. A lot of us really don't get, do they? That the negative self-speak, the lack of support we have, actually how that's impacting us.
The phrase that really blew my mind when I read it, and it took me a few times to get to really sit down with it, was happiness is not a destination, it's a direction. And that really changed me, because I think I placed a lot of like pressure on when I get to Target, I will be happy. And I've been at Target a couple of times now, which is great.
Well done.
But it wasn't that kind of like, I don't know, didn't give me that release that I thought it would. There were still things to work on, still things to tweak and look at, and that's been interesting.
Yeah.
It's difficult and it's uncomfortable to admit that, but it's also interesting. There'll be some people who have reached Target and they're going through Diamond and they're still having these lessons and this idea about treating and not wanting to come back out of Target and go back, and they need to maybe, this is a great subject for them as well.
Mm.
I think what I hadn't really thought about was the idea of treating yourself, how entwined it was with my favourite word that I love to hate, which is kindness, which I feel like everyone's slapping me around the face with. Come on, it's like kindness. But no,
it's because you're not kind to
yourself.
Do you know
what? And also Matt, without even knowing it, both bought me the same book.
Stop it, really?
Mm. And it's called The Kindness Pact.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We're telling you something, love.
Different covers. But I was like, wait a sec, I've read some of this stuff.
Oh my gosh, how interesting.
But this idea about being kind to yourself and what does that look like, I think is intrinsically linked to this idea about treating yourself. Because maybe the way that we used to treat ourselves was actually a form of punishment.
Oh, a form of self-destruct as well. Like, I'm treating myself with that pizza. I'm treating myself with that 14 bottles of wine. I'm treating myself by staying in bed and not moving. You know, all of those things. I'm treating myself by ordering a takeaway. I wasn't treating myself. I was destroying myself. But the word treat, almost for me, allowed it to be okay. Because actually, then I didn't have to deal with the inner self-destruct, the inner pain, because I was treating myself. I was looking after myself.
Well, it gives you respite.
Yeah.
Because actually a lot of us come to this journey, you know,
broken.
Carrying... Yeah, broken.
I was.
Exactly. And it, you know, it's hard, and you can go into it thinking, I'm on a diet, you know, I'm so ashamed that I'm at this point. Oh my God, I can't fit into these clothes. I don't want to go out and see those people. You know, I don't want to go put a swimming costume on to go to a spa or a pool because I don't want other people to see me. There's like a lot we carry, and so you almost like need some respite for yourself from thinking that, just to feel nice for like a few moments.
And I think the thing that food, alcohol, all those things do is it gives you an instant gratification. It lifts your spirit, but it's actually knowing that you're doing that and that's not helping you progress, is it? That's what I always found. So my treats, I remember when I first started losing weight, I had to change my treats because actually they had to be on food related, because otherwise I was taking myself down that path again, that repeat. You know, I don't know if you used to do this, but I certainly did. Things would happen in cycles and I'd tell myself it would be different next time, but then the same thing would happen and I'd repeat the same behaviour. So I almost had to break that behaviour between low mood, unhappiness, sadness, and the food. I had to have a different behaviour. Like, you're really good with activity and getting moving to help with your mental health. Mine went to shopping. Mine went to things like bubble bath and flowers. Actually, when I was tempted to buy the chocolate, I'd buy flowers, because actually it was allowing myself to get something that wasn't then going to cause a knock-on effect to eat more.
That's interesting. See, because I kind of had this realisation that I would spend, eat, drink, travel as a way to run away from my feelings. So actually, yes, I do the activity and I go, I'll take a day to go walking.
You love that, yeah.
But also, I think I realised part of the kindness treating myself was also to just learn how to sit. So
yes,
actually, many years ago, I probably would have struggled to, have an hour-long bath and be comfortable with the thoughts that were whirring around my mind,
because
were so destructive. So I needed to do those like activities, like spend, eat, drink, whatever, to kind of distract.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't comfortable in sitting with those. But actually now I can sit still. I can sit and read a book and I can manage my mind.
Wow.
And I've become more comfortable with that. Good and ultimately thing. I think that removes, it breaks that cycle.
Yeah.
So that is, I think this is where it's interesting, you know, if you're kind of heading to Target or you're, you know, maybe you get like your half stone award, your stone award. It's like, well, what do I do now? And, you know, it's kind of looking at, well, what did I used to do? Is that healthy? What are my other options? And I think this is a good subject in groups as well, really, because, you know, like the party seasons are coming up and, you know, you're buying gifts for others, but how we did an episode last year where you kind of think about the gift to yourself and what does that look like and what is it that you really need. And I think a big thing that kind of like planning your food and being a bit more conscious about what you're eating and your habits and your behavior, I think it just allows you to kind of think and be a bit more in tune with, like, you know, this cheesy word like mindfulness that people talk about, but actually what is it that you need today? Because some days you have got more energy and you're like, actually no, I could go and meet up with that friend, but other times you stop and you say, I am tired, it's been a week, I need to sit down with a bubble bath and finish that book that I've been meaning to finish for a few weeks, and that is a treat for you.
The biggest thing I've learned, and this happened when I got really sick, was just taking time. Just saying, actually, you don't always have to be doing something. You don't always have to be achieving. You don't always have to this. Just to go, actually, today, this is a duvet day. My dad taught me this. Sometimes I needed to pull the duvet over my head and just settle, regroup my energy. The way I used to deal with that previously was to eat my way through it. I'd be exhausted, I'd get through it, I'd keep going, give yourself some chocolate, like, give yourself some cake, have a really nice coffee. And actually it was going, no, that's just masking it. But you don't recognise it when you're in the spiral, because you do it. It's what you do. This is how I treat myself. But you don't realise how the knock-on effect of not getting things like the sleep, not being active, not talking about it can be so destructive. I know for me, the moment I was honest with my feelings about myself with Phil and saying, look, this is how I feel about my body, my mind, and actually saying it out loud to someone can break that cycle as well. You've learnt to be very good at talking about it. In the time I've known you, you can address it now. You can kind of nip it in the bud. That's been a real progression I think I've seen in you.
I think it's just about, the longer you go through the process, the more tools you pick up.
Very true.
So like my toolbox is just like, it's got like the full set of spanners now. It's got a flathead and a Phillips. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
I've even got like an electric drill.
Uh-huh.
And these are stuff that you pick up over the time. Whereas when I first came to the world, that toolbox was empty. In fact, there wasn't even a toolbox. Yeah. It was like a cobwebbed corner of the shed. I didn't even have a shed. But do you know what I mean? So it's like accepting that. And that's where I think the power of group is great, because you pick up tips from people who are maybe a few years, few months down the line.
Yeah.
And you kind of say, well, what do you do? And you work out if that's good for you.
Yeah.
I think another thing that... you know, sometimes you don't have all the answers, and it's about trying stuff and it's being open to experiments. So as you go through the process, you know, like the person I was and the physical things I could do when I was 5 stone heavier to where I am today, I couldn't maybe go on and get on a mountain bike and go along the trail on a muddy day. I probably wasn't as like confident or strong. Yeah. I wouldn't go and do a park run. I wouldn't have gone, I don't know, like on a big hike up a massive mountain over 500 meters. Like these are things that I can do now. And so it's about like, what are the things that I've always wanted to do, but I've never had the courage to? Am I ready to give them a go now? And then that's like a kind of psychological boost and a physical boost for you. It's like, use your body, use your power, use your newfound strength to like go out and do the things that you've always wanted to do. And those are the lists that you really want to capture, especially at this time of year. Yeah, I know, like, maybe don't climb a mountain in December. It could be a bit dangerous.
Yeah.
Please use a mountain guide. Yeah. Always, you know, charge your phone, take a map, compass, those kind of
she's
things.
She's looking at me like that's something I'm going to do. You'll find me in a shopping centre, not a mountain.
No, but do you know what? There was something that, for me, once I got that physical, like, kind of, like, strength, I think, I slowly became like obsessed with climbing hills, because I think like hills for me, I was talking about this with a friend, I'd see a hill and be like, I'm going to climb to the top of that hill. And I knew that I could, and I'd find it tough along the way. And obviously I do my research and I'm much more knowledgeable about that kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
I can go and climb out in the middle of nowhere in moorlands, and I'll either do it on my own or I've got friends that I can do it with. Do you know what I mean? That's great.
Yeah.
But I would kind of, I would see a hill, I'd be like, I'm going to climb that hill. And I would, and I'd get up there, and it would just give me this kind of like, I've done this. It's a different perspective. It's like, one of the things I really struggled with when I was like deep in that, oh my God, I've got to join again, I've got to lose this weight again, oh my God, how am I here? Like, you just can't see the wood from the trees.
No.
And there's something for me, like metaphorically, about getting on top of that hill and looking at it from a different perspective.
Very true.
So it's weird that that's just like kind of come out of this journey of weight loss in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That and unfortunately where I live, there's a lot of hills.
There is a lot of hills, yeah.
But, you know, and I've been doing this challenge where I've been climbing these things called the Ethels in the Peak District, which are 95 hills and summits that are around the Peak District, named after a lady called Ethel Haythornwaite, who was instrumental in the campaign to protect rural England.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these hills are brilliant. And actually, I find on my days when I have a bit of downtime that I'm able to, you know, just go and chill and make sure that I can go and do that walking and get out and get some air and enjoy it.
A better way of treating yourself. A nice way to treat yourself, isn't it? I love that you've never invited me on these treks, because she knows
I've been... You've done one of the Ethels. You have done. Early this year, we did Mam Tour with Zoe Mole in the rain. It was absolutely disgusting. But welcome to what it's like climbing hills in the Peak District, people, because the other week I went out and I turned around, I could see everything, and I turned back around and there was nothing.
The weather like changes while you're there. It's crazy.
So I think it's like being open to kind of think, what is it that I could do? Now, that is not a treat for you. That is like some kind of punishment.
I mean, yeah.
Like, but an idea of like getting super dolled up with like fake tan, glittery dresses and high heels, and that's not what I call treat myself.
No, whereas I'd be like getting my nails done, my hair done, buying a new dress, going and shopping and spending loads of money on new makeup. That's like, can you see how my whole demeanor's changed? But that's my treat. And I think it's finding what's right for you, because it's knowing actually, for me, what can bring me joy that isn't going to stop me losing weight or stop me from being the way I want to be. So yeah, shoes, flowers, bubble bath and makeup were my go-tos. But again, it's also knowing that I had to forgive myself for the place I had got to. And I think this is somewhere you've done a lot of work on, because both of us had lost weight and then regained it, and we're angry with ourselves, weren't we? I was so cross. I was cross with the world. I was cross with myself. And actually forgiving myself for who I was and almost thanking her for taking me to a new place was quite a liberating thing. But there'll be a lot of people that are struggling to forgive themselves and not realising that the anger and upset they're holding on to is causing them to treat themselves in a certain way. I see it a lot in group.
Do you know what? I think the other conversation there is, how do you guide family or friends or colleagues in they may want to buy gifts or they may want to treat you? How do you kind of have those courageous conversations with them to say, okay, you know this thing that we always used to go out on the 5th of December and get obliterated drinking loads of bottles of Prosecco? I need that to be a bit different this year. And that's like... It's a difficult part of it. I'm not going to lie. I do remember like the first Christmas when I didn't drink and I was like, I overthought it. I was like, right, I'm going to drive. And then if anyone asks, it's because I'm driving that I'm not drinking. And then I'm going to research at the bar. What are my options? Can I have something other than Diet Coke and sparkling water? And it was just like, I overthought about it. I felt deeply uncomfortable and nobody else cared in reality. But I had to kind of have the conversation with some of those friends to say, okay, I know we're going out clubbing and this is where I'm at and this is what I'm thinking. And they were just like, all right, yeah, cool. That's cool. We're cool with that. We get a free lift home. That's brilliant.
They were loving you.
But it's like, and you know, saying to people, okay, this year for Christmas, please don't buy me a selection box. Please don't buy me chocolates. Yeah. That is not a way that you can show me love this year. A way that you can show me love is get me the sexy bubble bath stuff, buy me a new pair of pants. Get me some nice slipper socks. Do you know what I mean?
Come, Claire. What's happened to
I
us?
Know. But I think that is a part because it's much about treating yourself, but it's about having those difficult conversations for people to say, okay, I'm going down this route.
Please help
me. I need your support. And actually, you can show me love by supporting me.
And people don't know if you don't tell them.
And they feel uncomfortable because you don't want to put any people out and you don't want to disrupt
them.
The script because they may have looked forward to the fact that that 5th of December is the night that you get obliterated and it's something they look forward
to.
You're challenging that and you're rewriting the script and people sometimes can be resistant to that and, you know, it can be difficult. You can be knocking knuckles, but just go with it. Try it because you know what happens if you do the same thing that you do every year, but you don't know what happens if you try something different and the other side might be even better than what you used to do, is how I approached it. Like, I knew what happened if I drink every year at Christmas. But I was like, but I don't know what happens if I don't.
Yeah.
So how can I judge that it's going to be awful, it's going to be worse? Okay. And actually, I realised it gave me a lot of liberation. It gave me a lot of energy to walk, to, you know, I would love to hike a mountain on Christmas Day. That's one of the crazy fantasies I have now.
Is 25th of December an ideal time to do that? Or?
Depends which mountain you're talking about and how far up you start.
Okay. Oh, how far up you start.
Well, some of them you can drive halfway up,
can't
you? Of course you can.
You're looking at me like I should know this. I'm like, I could tell you about all the good shopping centres.
You don't have to, like, start from the very lowest point at sea level just to climb the top of a mountain. Do you know what I mean?
You could just, start and then climb to the top.
There's all kinds of stuff.
I think what you have to ascertain in making a habit change is that there will be an outcome that could be really positive because a lot of us stay in the safe zone because we know it's safe but don't realize the safe zone is causing us unhappiness. Break it and there might be something that's a lot more powerful on the other side.
I just thought, actually, another thing that I like to do is, like, on the 1st of January I like to go to the sea. There's something about seeing the sea, putting my feet in the sea on the 1st of January, and that again was one of the things that I got from not getting obliterated on New Year's Eve. I had that morning where I'd get up before loads of people did and got to touch the sea before other people did.
It's so calming about the sea, isn't
it? I think so. It's like kind of deciding, what, how do I want to start this year?
Yeah.
How do I want to, you know, celebrate the next week? How do I want to look after myself? It's fascinating.
It's those habits that stack, actually, like you say, is this taking me towards the person I want to be, the lifestyle I want to lead? Mm-hmm. And actually, part of that is how you treat yourself, isn't it? And actually, if I want to make changes, I've got to be nicer to myself, I've got to be kinder to myself, and I've got to do the things that are going to allow me to be that person.
Well, it's that old caveat, isn't it? What would you say? How would you treat a friend?
Yeah. Exactly. If you treated yourself like that with kindness, you'd get much further in this kind of journey, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that is interesting. Sometimes I've had to like almost write a letter to myself, like I'm writing to a friend and they're in my shoes. What would I say to that person? It is, it's always a very different outcome to what I'm actually saying and how I'm treating. But we've put a link to this brilliant article, which is Kindness is Key. You should be able to get that if you are a Slimmer World member. And it talks about, you know, the process of letting go of negative self-talk, getting support, taking time for you, forgiving yourself and showing kindness to others, because that's a big key. You know, the social connection of Slimming World is not just a you know, a food plan, that it's about this community, it's that connection. And often when you give love out, you know, you get it back. And it's about karma, it's about sharing, it's about growing, being together and not struggling on your own, and voicing and talking about some of these things and asking for help. You know, asking for help from people. So I hope that, you know, as you kind of head into the crazy party season, that you've maybe start kind of like thinking about some of these things. And I guess what we're kind of trying to do on like our podcast on tour, like mini series, is just get you to be entering the Christmas period a bit more consciously. Mm-hmm. That is the key thing that we're, I think there's a bit of a theme. So next week in the members area, we're doing a special members only podcast about alcohol, about drinking, bottoms up, we're going to call it, quite literally. And we're going to kind of like crack that nut, because I think there can be a lot of fear, there can be a lot of denial about alcohol's role at Christmas. You know, whilst we don't drink, we have drank, what kind of tips, tipping point, all these kind of things. So, and you can find out, if you're not a Slimming World member, you can go to the Slimming World website. There is the blog there where it talks about these things like tipping points. Slimming World's done some great surveys on that. So do go find out a little bit more, and, you know, and come and connect with us. Show, you know, share some of the photos or the tips or the ways that you are treating yourself, you know, at this part of your journey. That's maybe some of the first ways that you've treated yourself differently in a long time. We're on Instagram, we're at Slimming World Podcast. Come and connect with us, and yeah, have a great time.
Yeah, treat yourself well.
Yeah,
be kind, be happy. Yeah, just give yourself today. Go and treat yourself with something that's not food.
That's it. And the idea is that you're meant to have a little bit of fun every day.
Yeah, life's for living.
You don't have to wait to have fun. You can have fun right now. You could do something frivolous.
You can have some fun.
Get your leopard print socks on. Get your leopard print jumper on, whatever makes you happy. Get your leopard print pen and think of us as your trusted companions by your side.
Have a great day.
Goodbye.